ready to go, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Madam General Manager. Living in the world of formality. I always bring an accent.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Are we ready to record then?
We're recording.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, to the meeting of the Covenants, Conditions, and Restrictions Committee. It is Monday, October 2nd, 2023. We are beginning at 5:30 p.m. in the Cameron Park Community Center Social Room. General Manager, would you take a roll call, please?
Sure. Director Aston.
Here.
Vice Chair Bob Dutta.
Here.
Candace Calvert.
Here.
Director Wolfson.
Present.
Kristen, is it Wider?
Weeder.
Weederhold.
Here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, thank you. All right, public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing. Move now to the approval of the agenda. Any questions, comments, additions, or a motion regarding tonight's agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do we have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 5-0. Approval of the agenda. We now move to the approval of the conformed agenda from our CCR meeting on September 11th. Any comments on that? Any additions, corrections that anybody found in reading through that? If not, we have a motion to approve the form agenda.
A motion to approve?
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? If not, motion carried. The form agenda is approved. We move now to open forum. Members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibility of the committee. Any member of the public want to speak on something not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will now close open forum and move to department matters, starting with monthly staff reports.
Okay, we have. I don't know if you all have had a chance to peruse, and so feel free to pull any of these out. Some of them are already pulled out. But in total cases, we currently have 49 cases, and we have 18 courtesy notices, 11 initial notices.
Excuse me, I'm okay.
It's these numbers don't quite match.
I think you're in the conformed agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're in the conformed agenda.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to keep up here.
I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Jump in. All right, total cases open at 47.
There you go.
Courtesy notices are 14. And I've got it here. I'll read from this one. Initial notices, 11. Final notices, 7. Pre-legal notices out, there's 2. We have none referred to legal at this point. Outside agency, I have 2 cases that I sent last month, but I have more that I sent again recently. So that'll reflect on next month's. Prior month's cleared cases was 13, and prior month's new cases were 11. So that's for the month of September. And then on architectural review, we had 22 projects reviewed and 22 approved. Is there any questions or anything you would have questions about in regards to the CC&I violation manager report?
Any questions, comments?
That, and to continue on then with architectural review projects, we have 9 roofs, 3 solars, 0 trees, 0 fences, no new home constructions or ADUs. We have 1 pool, 2 exterior house paints, 5 siding replacements, 1 storage shed, and 1 window replacement. Yeah. And that concludes the ARC side.
They're going down. The number you're seeing.
Yeah, it's we're starting to come out of that time of the season. Mm-hmm. And right now, we are getting a lot of siding projects. Mm-hmm. So what we did in ARC is we did a workshop on different siding materials, life expectancies, cost analysis, the differences between LP, smart siding, T111, all that kind of neat stuff. What we are finding is that those people that are changing out their siding, be it a T111 or a shiplap, they are moving towards the smart siding, which is more of a concrete fiber. Mm-hmm. And it's got about a 50-year lifespan. So cost-wise, with the cost of lumber these days, it comes out to be about $8 to $12 more per sheet for the concrete fiber. So you throw another $600, $800 into your materials and you got a much better product. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing a lot of Cameron Park switching out to. We got squirrels and woodpeckers. They do a lot of damage, not to mention the weather. Mm-hmm. So everybody's got a side of their house, but if they don't keep painted every 5 years, when it comes to T111 or shiplap, that stuff goes bad. Mm-hmm. So that's what, it's all primarily roofs and siding. This next cycle I have in right now is all roofs and siding. So, any questions?
Me. All right. We'll move now to number 3, review and approval.
Okay, this one is for ARC 23-193 CCR 23. This is for 3900 Placidas, and we do have the applicant who's here with us again today. You can take a look at the transmittal that was attached to that in the back. There was some work done on that. Did all of you have a chance to read that transmittal?
I will tell you that this was a difficult recommendation to come forward with, the applicant, I'm sorry, can you remind me your name so you're not
Bryce.
Just the applicant?
Bryce.
Bryce, did not know about our process and unknowingly, constructed this shed, which he thought was the right thing to do. So I think it was difficult, Jim and I worked through this. I always feel it's important to come with a staff recommendation for the committee's consideration. The applicant is here. I'm sure he'll want to speak to this, but just know that we felt that this was the right recommendation just to preserve the character of the neighborhood. And so that's kind of it.
And if I can add to that, the staff recommendation is based on the neighborhood, not the individual. These things do happen, but we're looking at the neighborhood as a whole and trying to do the right thing so that it doesn't become a repetitive issue.
So the recommendation is to remove the shed. Bryce can put it in his backyard, relocate it behind the shrubs. Certainly, I think he has a baby coming due here pretty soon. And the holidays are coming up. It's nothing that we are recommending that has to be done immediately. Perhaps after the first of the year would be our recommendation to relocate it. Another option, if you chose not to go with staff's recommendation, would be to screen the shed with some vegetation, some planting. So.
And as I went down there with the fire marshal, one thing we were looking at is it can be screened on one side. It would not be able to be fully screened from the driveway side.
It could be easily. I could easily put a fence there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but a fence is, we only can go so high, so the roof is going to be seen. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we all deliberated on quite a bit, in the sense that if somebody's going to want to put a shed in their front yard, they're going to see yours, and they're going to go for it. Mm-hmm. That's our biggest issue.
Can you point into the CCRs where it says I can't put it?
Yeah, it's in that transmittal. All clothesline or other storage areas, machinery, and equipment shall be prohibited upon any lot unless it is obscured from adjoining lot streets or lots by a fence or appropriate screen. So, with that being said, a fence cannot go up over the roof line.
But that doesn't say it. But your argument was that it can't be in the frontage. The CCNRs do not say it can't be in the frontage. It says it needs to be screened.
And you don't put a fence on the frontage.
The neighbor's fence is right in front of it. Is at the same spot.
No, yeah, but that's their...
There's fences that are... No, I mean, from the road. There's fences that are closer to the road.
Mm-hmm. Within the setbacks.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
There's sheds that are not screened that are even closer to the road in our neighborhood that are have metal siding or all
sorts of... Oh, I know. We're going after those as well. So... This is
clearly stated that it can be screened as an option.
And I'm going to pause all this at this point just because there's a normal process. We want to give you a chance to speak to the committee. The normal way we handle an agenda item is the committee has an opportunity to ask other questions or clarify pieces, and then we want to give you the chance to speak to bring those things to us so we put that into our consideration as well. Align the committee. First steps are typically we don't give our opinion until we hear from staff and we hear from community as well. So we want to put all that in, and then we can deliberate on that. Okay. So at this point, if the committee has questions for Jim, for the general manager, regarding this, please go ahead.
So I actually have a question. When we tire, it says obscured from view of adjoining streets or lots by a fence or appropriate screen. So you indicated that on one, could we look at that again? On one side of it, we could, of course, put, the homeowner could put something, the resident, excuse me, could put something in the front, but not to the side.
Well, in correction, you can put something here,
right.
A fast-growing shrub that can be edged out,
mm-hmm.
and we would definitely want it to be high enough to block the screenage of the roof as well. On the side, we have a strip about this wide on the garage driveway side. And what we talked about, if there was an approval, what Bryce and I talked about is putting in a planter box there, maybe some metal art or some vine-growing material. And it would require, we would more than likely require a planter box just so that it wouldn't all wash away whatever they were to do in there, giving adequate space to put in plant life. Now, Fire Marshal, the way he looked at this is it's not over 120 square feet, so it wouldn't land on his desk, so his viewpoint was it's not my concern.
And tell me again why it is we couldn't pull the fence all the way out?
You could.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fence is just wood on wood.
Mm-hmm.
What difference is that, be the siding or the shed?
You're saying the peak would be over and above
the peak would be still over and
above. The fence.
And the biggest concern we have is having sheds being put in the front yard.
Right.
And it's just like our fence guidelines says you cannot put fences in the front yard that enclose the front yard. Now, granted, your setbacks, if you were to pull a fence out, your setbacks do allow you to pull that fence out if you wanted to, like, pull a trailer in there. Or if, for example, if the shed was behind. We're just, the overall view that we're looking at here is it going to set a precedence?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one last question. So even if it was moved back behind the fence line, the fence still isn't going to cover the top,
no.
Correct?
No, it would.
So when you say that by putting it out there, it wouldn't cover the fence line, it's not going to do that either way.
But by definition, a storage shed is a storage area. So that's why it fits in that
and it
class.
Doesn't. Okay.
But technically, it could be moved behind the fence, then.
It could. He built this from the ground up.
Oh, I
yeah,
see.
To be clear, this shed cannot be moved. If I have to tear it down,
it would
it's
going to
be $5,000 burned to the ground, basically.
And so it didn't go through architectural review or anything from the start? Okay.
So the two options that are presented here, one, he removes the shed by January 30th, 2024. And solves the problem. The other option that you discussed is screening it with live vegetation, tall trees, so forth, to the front, and then there's some question as to how you would go about doing the side, the view that is visible next to that truck or whatever that vehicle is. That part is questionable, that even with a planter, you don't think that's going to screen adequately?
It's going to be seen. Here's what we're looking at, because while you know, I sat out there with Bryce and I tried to do what I could, and then came back and I was like, no, you can't do that. It's got to go back to CCNR. The biggest issue we're looking at is it's going to set a precedence. So if someone else puts a shed in their front yard, we got to go through this again. We would have to go through it all over.
Okay.
As far as the second part of your question was?
The second part of the question was the screening to the side that's adjacent to that vehicle.
Yeah. So if I am a homeowner and I live in this neighborhood and I want to put a shed, I don't have any more room in my backyard, and I come around the corner and I see that, that's going to give me my permission to do so. And as you know, we have a big problem with people moving into our community that don't read their CCNRs upon title,
right,
and they put something in that we have to have them tear down.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all the questions.
So on here it indicates it's unsightly items, stipulates storage areas, or I guess I wouldn't see a storage area as the same as a storage shed.
Then what would you, if a clothesline didn't have clothes, is it no longer a clothesline?
So, Jim's been waiting to say that because he said that same thing to me. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make it clear, and you know, I think Eric said that, you know, staff come forward with our professional recommendations. That's our job. That's what we do. And sometimes these are very difficult, unpleasant recommendations. And we do the same thing with our board of directors. And then it's really the public has an opportunity to testify. You have, you know, an opportunity to ask questions, consider staff's recommendation, public testimony, all the other things, because you're community members, and then ultimately there will be a decision. So I don't want to get in. I mean, we will explain our staff recommendation. I don't want to get into a position of defending it.
I understand.
So.
She's right. It wasn't an easy one.
Yeah.
It seems like the language of the CCNR is really difficult, because if he puts it behind the fence, the roof can be seen. But if he puts a fence in front, the roof can't be seen. And I don't know if that would put us in legal issues or not. It's kind of contradictory.
A lot of our CCNRs are open to interpretation. Yeah. It's
hence why you're here.
Yeah. Right?
I mean,
they're
our simplest two to four page CCNRs, they were written black and white. There is no gray area. And I appreciate those. Mm-hmm. This is a newer neighborhood that has a lot of gray area in their CCNRs. The final decision does rest with this committee. Mm-hmm. Staff made their recommendation. It was a very difficult recommendation. And how you all interpret it is how things are going to move forward in that neighborhood from now on.
Any other questions? We'll come back for discussion with the committee to consider those things. But unless that, I don't know, I'll give Bryce a chance to speak to the committee on this.
Yeah, I got a few things to say. So as far as the CCNRs go, it is very much a gray area in there. But the one thing that it is very clear about, it says that storage sheds can be, or storage areas is what it says. I agree, I didn't think that was a shed either, but a storage shed is allowed if it's screened. And how many sheds get built behind a fence that are lower than 6 feet tall that you can't see the roof? Pretty much almost none, right? So you go through any neighborhood, especially the neighborhood I live in, and you see the tops of sheds all over backyards. And so if I put a fence in front of it and you can see the top of the shed, how is that different than, I don't know, 50% of the houses in the neighborhood? And I could go take pictures of probably 50 houses and show them to you guys that have sheds behind the fence. And so if I need to construct a fence that is within my setbacks, which I have plenty of room to do, and if that fence could be 7 feet tall, which is allowed, in the front, that would block the peak. You wouldn't be able to see the peak at all from the front, because it's only about 5 feet because of the slope. And from the side, it would, where the gutter line is about 7 feet. So yeah, you'd see from the side where my truck is parked, yeah, you can see the roof. But like I said, that's no different than the majority of the houses. And the CCNRs are very clear that says that it's allowed if it's screened. It doesn't, nowhere in there does it say it cannot be in the frontage. And so I don't think it's, you know, you're talking about setting a precedent, but really what you guys' job is to interpret the CCNRs, right? Not to come up with something else to you know, deny a project, right? So if it meets the what the CCNRs say, which I believe it would if it was screened, and I easily could do either with shrubs on either side, there's room on the side too. If you want me to plant a shrub that gets 9 feet tall next to the driveway, I can do that. There's plenty of trees that grow tall and skinny that would cover the entire roof if that was what was required. So that's all I think I have, unless you guys have questions.
If I may make a point in relation to what he just said, he's absolutely correct. You can drive around the neighborhood and you will see pictures of sheds. The CCNR just requires it to be screened. The same exact scenario is for all our RVs and trailers. While a 6 to 7 foot fence does not fully screen a trailer, we understand that. And as opposed to asking to build people to build 10 to 12 foot fences, we just ask it to be properly stored. And so what he's saying is correct in both matters. And in sometimes we do have to interpret these CCNRs like with a trailer. As long as it has a fence and you can still see the roof of that trailer, it's still acceptable, screened behind the other.
And you know, like I mentioned last month, I went through like painstakingly sought out the materials to match the house perfectly. I got the exact siding that's on the house, the paint matches the color, the roof matches as close as it possibly could for a 30-year-old roof, so that it doesn't look like, you know, a vinyl deteriorating shed in my backyard, which is what you see all over the place, or mets, you know, sheds with metal, you know, aluminum, you know, roofs. You know, I try to make it look aesthetically pleasing, and it can be screened. Thank you.
All right, so bring back to me for discussion. First piece is to affirm what we said and acknowledge this is a tough recommendation. Sometimes we bump up against this. CCNRs were written a long time ago, and so there is interpretation in it. The committee has a couple of considerations here. First, it's the personal piece with Bryce. He's obviously been very cooperative. He's obviously very intentional in what he's done. So there's a lot of pieces there that you can say are in his favor on this. The other piece for the committee is the bigger picture of what's the intent of the CCNRs. And I think that's where this committee needs to make some of its decision, is what is the intent of the CCNR? If you read this and it says, all closed lands or other storage areas, etc., shall be prohibited on any lot unless obscured from viewing, from view by adjoining streets or lots by a fence or appropriate screen. The idea is to keep the view of residences in the neighborhoods consistent with original intent. And I think that's a fair interpretation. The long-term issue could be by letting this be okay, even with accommodations, as Jim has said, what does that say to the rest of the neighbors? Obviously, this came to us because of a complaint from a neighbor who had noticed it. So there are some who see this as well. I drove around the neighborhood too. After meeting Jim to prep for the meeting, I drove around the neighborhood, and I agree, there are some places. I'm not sure I'd agree there's a majority, but there's enough. There's a lot. There are also some places that are blatantly in violation and have these ugly RV coverings and all of that. I came away from it, and this is just one of five, I came away from it with the impression that there is a certain aesthetic to the development that was intended. And the majority of the houses have these setbacks, have the lawns, have the space. So the question becomes, does pushing that out front change the aesthetic, change the intent of the development in that? Now, can you put a fence up? Yes. Can you put growth around it? Yes. Does it meet the letter of this, potentially? To obscure from view, we might be hard-pressed to obscure that completely from view soon, if ever.
I appreciate the intent of let's put up a 9-foot tree and some of those arborvitae that go straight up and cover it. I've seen that done too. What's the one that's all over the place that we thought?
Botinia.
The botinia. I don't know if red tip stuff.
It's not as bad as oleander. if it's maintained, it looks good.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the limitations he's dealing with is county guidelines for fences, which please remind the committee, what are the limits that you can do for a fence though?
So fences have now been increased to 7 feet with the county. You can do a 7-foot fence without having to obtain a permit from the county. Anything over 7 feet requires a permit. So the fence can potentially go even higher, but it requires a county permit.
What about the butting it up against the house? I thought there was some new...
So when, as like the fire marshal mentioned to us, if there was a window right there, he would have to say, no, it's got to go. Mm-hmm. So with defensible space, he did not see a problem there because he felt that it had enough clearance off of the house and it didn't have a window nearby. Now, that's not to say that these fire codes are going to change, as we're seeing them change dramatically recently. And that includes no wood gates up against a house. That's the new one. As well as no vegetation within 5 feet of a structure. That's another one that's coming up. These are not being addressed on individual residents as the houses sit. These are going to be enforced on new developments as well as real estate changing. That's the way it was explained to me.
Is there a reason initially why you did build the shed behind in your backyard?
Well, there's nowhere to do it.
Oh, okay.
At the time. And, you know, so the way I read everything was it was behind a fence, and the intent was to that. Can't see in the picture, but where the left front corner is where my neighbor's front yard fence comes to. So I lined it up with mm-hmm. that corner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
To build, to essentially extend that and build out. And there was a fence actually there that fell over. It was not a very good fence that the previous owner put up, but it was there. It matched up with the front of that shed. So the intention was to do that. And then as I was building it, there's another shed in the neighborhood built just like this where they used the siding from the house and they put a gate between the house and the shed. And
it's built out front. It's built out front also?
And then my wife's like, wow, that looks really nice. Like, that's a good idea. Why build an ugly fence when you can make the shed look nice? I'm like, that's a good idea too. And so we did it that way to make it look as nice as possible. And
so, forgive me, what you're saying is you saw another neighbor put a shed in front of their house.
And that don't say that it can't be in the front. It doesn't
correct.
Say anywhere in the CCR that it can't be. It just has to be screened.
Correct, but it doesn't say that it can. And that's where the interpretation comes in. And I say that because there is intent, and that's part of what the committee has to decide. If you drive around the neighborhood, what was the intent of the development? That's part of what we have to enforce here.
Right.
Because it does affect property values. Does affect people moving in. And having lived here 18 years, I've seen neighborhoods change over time. Now, this is again, please don't take this personally. This is not a judgment on you. I know it's hard not to, because there's a cost in this potentially for you. And I don't say that lightly. But the other piece for us is what happens to developments and neighborhoods and their values as the slow creep happens. Right? It looks nice. He did an intentional job, and it's wonderful. But he also got the idea from another neighbor who did the same thing. So that's part of the consideration. Now, the committee can say, we go with the recommendation, and it needs to go. And recognizing the situation that he's in, both for cost and a baby and holidays and all that, the committee can have some discretion on giving time for that. The committee could say, based on this interpretation, that, yes, a fence and sufficient screening so that it cannot be seen. Obscure is the operative word here in that case. That if it's seen, you can't do it. If it can be covered, there's room. So those are, as far as I can see, the two choices before the committee.
One question I quickly have to ask you. Sorry.
No, that's fine. This is our discussion.
You mentioned that you read... So you did read the CCNR before actually constructing?
Well, no, it was after, yeah. when I
so you got Rock Creek first and then you read the CCNR?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that about the whole
so you got the design plan, the concept and everything from this neighbor's view, but not the CCNR.
Right.
And then or architectural review. I don't think a lot of people know about architectural review.
Right, exactly. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
That's the dilemma we ran into with most folks that come before us.
Right.
How long ago did you acquire this property?
3 years, almost exactly 3 years.
At that time, you didn't review any documents?
Oh, you know, of course, I'm sure my real estate agent gave me something to sign, and I'm sure I signed it.
It was in the stack that looked like this.
Yeah. Docs and
I'll DocuSign now.
I wasn't aware. This is the first time I lived in a neighborhood that had it, so I wasn't. And when I was shopping for houses, I purposely was looking for something with no HOA, because that's what I thought was, I didn't know CCNRs were a thing. I was just like, no HOA, was when I told my real estate agent. Well, I didn't realize that there's also a thing called CCNRs.
Thank you.
If I could comment, in here it talks about unsightly items in storage areas. I think that the spirit of what that is talking about is having debris around. You know, you have, you know, construction, you have rocks, and you have bricks, and you have buckets of paint. I think that that's what we're talking about here when it talks about storage areas. And when I look at that, first of all, I'm not a shed fan, but I will say, I'm not, but I will say to you, I don't look at that and think unsightly.
Yeah.
And I think that putting up an appropriate screen that goes through the approval process of the Architectural Control Committee, I think would be appropriate here, because I don't feel like this recommendation to remove it meets what this is
saying. Well, the only thing, like Jim said, is that if people see that, then other people are going to start putting them in their front yards, because people don't want to pay for storage units.
If it's not required that that be behind a fence line, I'm not sure that we can make a decision based on what we hope and what we think shouldn't be there.
Well, and I would correct that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the job of this committee. Mm-hmm. The job of this committee is to preserve the integrity of neighborhoods and their original intention, with adjustments where necessary and appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So roll that out and drive the neighborhood, and now imagine a shed in every other house. Mm-hmm. Does that change the aesthetic of the neighborhood? And is everybody going to be as conscientious as him in constructing it to match the house to look, all these kinds of things?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the person who tries to do it right. It's everybody else, the majority of which I think he's even mentioned, don't do it right. The sheds are run down and don't look good, and there's some up front, et cetera. So those are the other considerations. And I will say, they do affect neighborhoods and property values. Now, again, the committee can say, he's done due diligence, it's unclear, you can cover it, that's fine. Just as chair of the committee, I just want to make sure we're aware of the potential implications of that kind of decision. I know to rule with staff's recommendation is a costly thing to price, and that's tough. It's also a costly decision to go against staff's recommendation for the larger neighborhood. So there's a cost either way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the committee needs to decide, and it's a tough one, I know, we're putting it on us.
And I worry that, let's say, hypothetically speaking, we allow this to remain with the screening and so on, and we've already seen, as he pointed out and told us, that there are others that have done the similar thing, and we don't control that, then there could multiply different issues. Jim could be busy just enforcing more and more of these issues and compounding the problem further. And we do have some responsibility of looking out for what was the intent of the CCNR. And I understand you said, well, it's not unsightly because there is, and you mentioned few articles. And again, that's a value that you're judging right now,
mm-hmm.
we're judging right now, and that could vary from time to time. You might see different things crop up along with those lines. So I think for the betterment of the neighborhood and the overall value maintenance, I think that permitting him to remove the structure, letting him have more time than what was recommended, would be a fair solution and a good outcome. That's what I recommend. And I would go with staff recommendation.
So the other consideration here in this is the long-term picture, right? We are one committee, 1 year. What we decide and how we do this perpetuates to following to committees later years who might interpret different, who might interpret the same. I think it's worth mentioning what are the kinds of guides and intent that we want to carry forward. Some of you will stay on the committee, others new ones will come on. So there's a consistency to that that we want to perpetuate. You know, Jim's going to stick around for another 30 years, but on that, no, I wouldn't do that to you. But there's that piece we want to keep in view, and we have very little control over that. So we have a comment from one of the committee members. Do we have any other
insight? You know, somebody might see that house and go, wow, that's a really nice shed, and they might buy the house because of it. I don't know. It's not, you know, some ugly shelf with, like, paint cans and whatnot. It actually matches the house very nicely. Of course, the next person might come in and go, why did they allow that? But I don't know.
Well, unless there's other deliberation or thoughts from the committee, I'd like to hear from each of the members to know how we should move forward with staff's recommendation. I know, this is tough. And Bryce is sitting right there.
My recommendation is that it be fenced, that it be screened with the approval of the Architectural Control Committee.
And I'm inclined to agree with that, partly because of just how badly the CC&R is worded.
Next? Sure. Oh, no, I'm on the fence.
You're on the shed, actually.
Yeah, on the fence. Oh, no, I know. I'm just like, it's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
That's why you take the big bucks.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. I guess my recommendation would be no shed in the front yard. Because I think more and more people will do it because you see that all the time.
Right.
It's tough.
And that's where I would lean to, is not to have the shed out front for the integrity of the development of the neighborhood, knowing that that's hard to enforce and keep, but it has to be somewhere. Mm-hmm. And recognizing for me too that this is staff's recommendation, that this is what Jim sees in the overall picture of what he's trying to do. So it sounds like we have a 3-2 vote to uphold staff's recommendation. Yeah, is that correct?
Is staff going to recommend to tear down about 30 sheds in our neighborhood too? Are they, you guys going to go house to house and do that?
Yeah,
when? Because those have been up for a long time, and I build probably the nicest one in our neighborhood, and I have to tear it down.
I didn't even know.
All
legal
up. I mean, there's nothing in the house that can't do that. It's behind a screen.
It's
like I said, behind a screen. Behind a screen. It says in there, behind a screen. Where does it say it can't be in the house? It doesn't.
And
so you guys are over-interpreting. You are. Where does it say that you can't do that? The CC&R is lay out what you can and can't do, and it does not say. You guys are saying you don't want it to. Some other people in the neighborhood might not want it to. The CC&R doesn't say that. You're saying that you don't want it to.
As a committee, yes, we are. As a committee, we are trying to uphold a bigger picture than, unfortunately, what affects just you. If it were just because of you, sure, looks good. You did a great job. You're a nice guy. I don't want to put a burden on you to get this time of your life. But as the committee has said, there's a bigger picture here that our CC&R officer has to deal with. It's not one we can envy or like. And yes, if we can go after every other shed that shouldn't be out there, we will. We're working with the resources and the people that we have, and unfortunately that limits us. So, I'm sorry.
Do we still need to do a proper vote on that?
We did.
Yeah.
I think we did.
That's tough. I don't know. I feel bad. I think.
Yeah.
And it's
I don't want to see that in my neighborhood. I had a bunch of sheds in front of people on me, so. Yeah, it brings down your property value, so. I've never seen it that direction.
Did you guys also confirm timeline in that vote?
We did not confirm a timeline, but the suggestion was made by Bob that we extend that timeline further. Right now it is for,
January 30th, 2024.
The committee can give more time.
So if I could comment on that, I think that we come into shed season when everyone's, you know, when we come into the spring, everyone's thinking about making their grand plans. So I'd like to not go too much further than that if that's, okay. I mean, February would be the latest I would like to see it, because March and April, everyone's thinking about their funding for the shed they're going to put and all the other things. So that's just the comment I would have on that.
Okay. So technically, construction-wise, Jim, can that be taken down and put it in the backyard? No.
And that's, okay.
He doesn't have room, I think.
It was built from the ground up. It's not a purchase tough shed type thing. It's built from the ground up. And he does have the rep embedment.
It's too bad, but...
That is unfortunate. I just wish more people knew about architectural review. I think that would be huge.
CCNR.
Even if the CCNRs are hard for people to interpret, I don't think there's anything hard to interpret about architectural review, right?
Well, and that's part of the reason why we will continue with the neighborhood campaigns. I mean, we have funding for... you know, prevention and education and that reactive stuff,
right.
The enforcement side of the house, you know, it's tough. I mean, you know, and so we like to get word out prior to things like this happening, so.
Yeah. Because then if they knew that, they would say, I want to put a shed in. Oops, I need to ask first. Does that work in my neighborhood?
Right.
You know?
I mean, in all honesty, and Tim and I have discussed this many, many times in the office, if there was a way we could blanket all of Cameron Park occasionally with some kind of mail that goes directly to them.
I think we did at one point.
Well, we do that with the neighborhood campaign, but we do them in sections, and a lot of that has to do
with... But I think prior to you, I think we sent out something, but we could do it again. Yeah.
I think we're back to a point where we need to do something.
Yeah.
We've got approximately 1,000 households that have changed out in the last 3 years.
Yeah, actually.
We can
look at a budget for that.
True.
You know, we've got a welcome wagon.
We do, but we don't have the staff.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I get something from a Cameron Park, like the Chamber of Commerce or something when I moved
Chamber
in.
Chamber of Commerce is different.
What about somehow getting something added in to their welcome basket?
Do you know who does that? Is it Chambers?
It was 10 years ago when I moved in.
I don't know that they're doing that anymore. I know that there was conversation about that over the years to do some sort of welcome wagon, and we had workshops, and I think we sent something out. But I think you're right. I think that our residents have changed over, and so another mailing is probably good. And it wasn't that expensive. We've got, you know, brochures and stuff that we can send out.
Good idea.
Okay.
All right. So where are we?
Just gotta make a decision on the due date.
Due date.
Would you really like to extend that?
Like she said, not past February, so I get it to.
And I think it would do a lot to maybe close a little gap, maybe build a bridge.
Yeah. February, you think, end up extended till February 28th?
Why don't we can leave it at January 30, and then if there's no action or we are not seeing any action, then know that the committee's intent is to have it out February, because I feel like there may not be movement on his part.
Oh, you don't think he's going to do anything?
I don't know, but I would rather see if we can adhere to the January 30th.
Oh, okay.
And then if there is no movement, then we have some wiggle room in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
If that's okay.
And this is an ongoing issue for us.
Because
it's
being on this committee. Like, I read my CCNRs because I'm not going to break them. But I didn't know about all the projects you have to have that go through architectural review. I didn't know
sense is to any
exterior
any exterior change.
If you want to make
right.
two
yeah.
solar part of
that. Solar is part of that. It's yeah, that's part of the ERC projects.
Right.
ERC.
Yeah.
And some of this is rubber stone.
Right.
Chickens. I didn't know we couldn't have chickens.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not good.
Let's not get into that.
That was the rubber chicken was a retirement gift that I gave the last CCNR.
I didn't know about the chicken thing.
So I think the only last comment on that is it might be good to bring back to the committee the discussion about notification in this because it's expensive to blanket a mailing across the community.
Sure, we can.
But you start to weigh the cost of doing that versus these things and saving people. So that might become a district expense that we just want to do effort.
What about some kind of signage? You know, we've got you've got those big banners that say, you know, sign. What about doing some of those, like, right before the spring starts? Mm-hmm. Putting them up in strategic locations at, you know, around every park? I mean, you can use those year after year.
Yeah. That becomes a matter of staff time and resources. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. And I think that people don't, you know, read signs as much. The district is working on a kind of reinitiating a communications plan through our website with the new general manager coming on. I know that when I was here previously, I wrote a monthly column in the Cameron Park Life that was actually well read. So, you know, and would talk about CCNRs and architecture review. And so there was that messaging. So I think that the district in the coming months is going to start. You'll see us out in the community a little bit more.
What is
with all of our services?
Started.
Now I'm going to pause this discussion because we're moving on to other things. So
okay.
Four more cases
yes.
to go.
Okay. Yes.
And a meeting after this.
Yes.
So if we can move on to 3B.
Yes.
This is 2603 Julie Court.
Did we take a vote on the last matter or no?
I think we have it. It's 3-2.
Yeah.
Yes. 3-2 yeah. for removal. Mm-hmm. Due date between 1:30 and. Wiggle room for extension to 2:20.
Right. Okay.
29.
Is it in that 29 year?
It's a leap year.
29.
Things
get
one
extra day.
Okay.
Like white.
All right. 3B.
We have 3B. These are now into our pre-legal requests. Julie Court. We have two here: 2603 and 2614. Both of these cases. It is somewhat of a domestic dispute. However, the dispute is over items that are in the CCNRs. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, so with the Julie Courts, I'll bring up the field reports because they have the photos and whatnot. And these people live directly across from the street from each other. This household has got a boat.
That's a big boat.
Uh-huh. And we have a lot of these people who like to park their boats on the streets. And that's oftentimes a battle that takes more time because it oftentimes can take us a couple months just to find out which house that boat belongs to. Because sometimes he parks along the side of the complainant.
Serious?
Yeah. So we started doing violation notice on this because of a complaint. So then they retaliated towards their complainant, knowing they knew who the complainant was without us having to give any indication. And we've got this guy where the CCNRs do reference non-op vehicles. And the people with the boat said, but wait a minute, they've got this Chevy Blazer out here that hasn't moved in years. Since we picked up this case, in Google Earth, you can go back to 2015. Mm-hmm. And we see that the front tire of this never changes its angle. And I can even do visual measurements on their utility box right there and see that this has never been moved. Mm-hmm. Not in about 3 years. Mm-hmm. This recently moved on a trip out. This is an elderly couple, and this is a young family. So while it is a domestic dispute, it does fall within the CCNRs. And we would like to just get a pre-legal notice started. And I did notify both of these residents that they both are getting the violation notices at the same time, same level.
so that they understood that we were working in fairness.
Oh, way to get them to align with each other and hate you.
It's the first time they've worked together in years. I love that.
So, Jim, is it 2614 and 2603?
2603 and 2614 Julie Court. These are, okay. I bring them both up at the same time because they're going at each other. Now, once the abatement is taken care of, however they handle it on their own is their own. But we're not getting cooperation from either one. The calls that come into our offices, I'm not touching that until they touch theirs.
We'll oblige.
You're both in the wrong. Take care
so
of your
that is yeah. that is for items B and C.
So just a quick note, in the actual staff report, both addresses are reported with the same violation.
They are under the same clause.
No, but I mean they're both same, both park on street.
On one of my letters, I made the mistake, and in the case detail report, because of the way I wrote up the violation in the program, I have to fix that. But okay. I've been editing it on their letters.
All right, just want to make sure. Yeah, we know clearly in this report.
Yeah. So the boat parked on street is 2614.
And the other one is
2603. 2603 was for the vehicle Chevy Blazer.
Okay. Any questions or comments by committee? Okay. So do we give staff approval for those two addresses?
Sure.
Yes.
Any nays? Hearing none. Full agreement. Go ahead and move forward legal on those.
Thank you.
Next is D, Royal Park Drive.
D, Royal Park Drive. So... this is for CCR 231026, 2712 Royal Park Drive. This is... working on for quite some time. This is part of neighborhood campaign. We have gone through Royal Park Drive from the beginning all the way to La Canada. It's been a tough neighborhood. There was no enforcement in there for many years. And so what we have here is a CCNR that says that they cannot have any trailers on any lot at any time. Now granted, it's like we've said many times before, if we went through this neighborhood and saw the trailers behind a fence line, we probably would not send out any violation notice, even though the CCNRs say that it can't be on there. I mean, the spirit of the neighborhood and almost every other CCNR does allow trailers behind the frontage. So if it was behind the frontage, we probably would not have tagged it. This resident throughout is currently on final notice, but they came to us and said, our house was built before the CCNRs. Well, unfortunately, CCNRs have to be written before any lot is developed on. So they brought down their deed to show us, hey, this is our lot. And then we had to call them up. Did you read down to the halfway of the page? Because it does say you're in Cameron Park, number 11, right on your deed. And they just went, So. I'm still, what we're trying to do is just get them to at least put it behind a fence line. That has been our request. In the violation notices, it does say the actual CCNR, that you can't have them on the line. In our most recent photo, we have this back here. This was dated just today. Tim was out there today. This trailer that's out here is now behind the fence line. But we still have another small recreational trailer, and I know you can't see this very well, and we have a utility trailer right here. So we got three trailers on this property. And at one point, they were all out in the frontage. I'm really hoping that we can get compliance with at least storing them, even if it is on that property, before we have to go to legal. If we have to go to legal, now we gotta go after everybody and make them remove them from their lots entirely. So we're requesting pre-legal here. In discussions, we've just discussed this with the homeowner many, many times. I think they understand now. Am I correct? They kind of understand what the CCNRs and know something needs to be done about it, but they're not moving quickly. they're moving very slow. So that's why we're asking for pre-legal to keep the pressure on.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I object. If it's not, if it says you can't have, wait, you want pre-legal to get, to have them move everything, right?
At this point, if they were to just get them behind the fence.
Okay.
If we end up having to go to legal, now we got to go by the letter of the law.
Right, right.
Yeah. So our staff and our position is we want to still have the leniency because literally on either end of the street, those people can't put them in the back there. It's a very small small community, Cameron Park number 11. It's surrounded by people that are allowed to put them in their backyard.
Wow.
So to us, it's not really fair to just say, get them out.
Right.
We're just asking for them to store them.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any approval for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Last one is E, Sheridan Road.
Oh, boy.
The applicants are not here. So Sheridan Road, we pretty much all have an idea of which case we're talking about, right?
I think this is Kristen's favorite.
Okay. So Sheridan Road has still done nothing. Matter of fact, their comment was after, you guys gave them a lot of grace. You guys gave
them more grace than I would.
Long period to put up a small fence. They came to me with ideas, asked me if they could do this. I said, I think it'll work. File your ARC application, get it in so we can get it approved.
And you waived the application fee for that, didn't you?
I was going to waive the application fee also. I then emailed them after the deadline that you gave. That it was coming up on that 60 days, I think it was.
Right.
Emailed them and said, reminder, you're coming close to the end of your timeline. The email response I got back was, we're not going to. Not until you clean up the rest of our street. So.
Once again, tit for tat.
Yeah.
So we went all the way down Sheridan,
uh-huh.
And we ended up with an additional 4 cases. And to date, 3 of those have already addressed those violations. One of them called in today, said that they put up a screen. Naturally, the letter said, please come to ARC, we'll help you with your gate. They didn't do so, so I haven't seen the screen yet.
Mm-hmm.
We only have one still outstanding, in which case we found out the address was incorrect. So we have to reissue
that. So still the only person that hasn't is the initial couple that came in?
Yep.
Shocker.
So their email said, take us off your case report list or we're going to be taking this to the supervisor.
And that's fake. It's a super bad.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because he can't do anything.
Yeah, right. He
can't. So, he could come yell at us, but
any,
you know.
True.
All right. Any other questions or comments on this?
No.
Or are we give approval for Stephanie's board?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
I've had enough of that.
Okay. If I may, I'll just continue up into staff updates.
Yes.
Neighborhood campaign number. For Cameron Park number 3 is complete.
That was the big one, right?
That was 500 plus homes. I think we had somewhere around 36 to, it was probably right around the number of 40, right, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are all out. We do get calls about them. Neighborhood inspections are underway in Cameron Park number 2 after the neighborhood campaign. So we've been going through there and putting together our violation notices for Cameron Park number 2. And then staff has also completed sections of Cameron Park number 12 in areas of concern, which was specifically Sandpiper Way and Eagle Lane. These were 2 roads that we got a number of complaints from. So we went ahead and took a look at them, and we did see quite a few violations. So we actually blanketed those streets with the neighborhood campaign. Any questions? Okay.
So, Director Aston,
yes.
For item B, we seem to always be running out of time on this,
yes, we do.
But it's an important update I think our committee would like.
Can you remind me when the next committee starts,
6:45? It starts at 6:30.
So,
what I would like to suggest is we have this first on the next CCNR committee agenda.
I would agree with that. Let's do that first next time.
Okay.
We can't squeeze a little more time in there?
We're at 6:29.
We're at 6:29.
So. Yeah, I'm sorry,
John. No, that's all right. So, no, we had a good conversation tonight. I mean, I think that all we did tonight was really great, but we would just like to get this information out to you about what's happening at the district. And there is a town hall meeting scheduled at the golf course about the district news and our efforts for fire service sustainability. That is November 9th, and I think it's 7 p.m. So there's that. We will be getting out in the community to the chamber and Rotary and some other groups as well. But we will. You're welcome to come to that one, or we will update you and have it first on their agenda for CCNR meeting.
Is there anything written on your website about this?
Not yet. I'm running behind.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Any other items for future CCNR committee agendas? We could add to it just to bring up the discussion about mailers. I know that's a staff task, but one of the things that I want the committee to be aware of too is budget and funding and what it takes to do this job, because this committee at some point is going to need to help support staff in direction for that, for budget, what needs to happen. So I'd like to see that mailing come back to committee for some guidance, and some of that goes to the budget, which is the work. Any other items for future CCNR agendas? And we have no items to take before the directors. We have no legal action this time. Any other matters to and from committee members and staff? So with that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
You have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.
6:31 p.m.